Hey everyone, welcome to our next edition of Taking Stock. I am excited to welcome Mansi Fakil and Raghu Narayan to today's discussion. And we're going to talk about the topic of technology deployments. And specifically, we're going to look at two very distinct approaches. Traditionally, companies had deployed what would be considered more of a waterfall approach, which requires perhaps more of a structured environment with processes and procedures that are very, very well entrenched. Versus more of an agile approach, which consists often of teams that are highly customer focused, adopting well to changing environments, and those that excel at project delivery, even under extreme pressure. We're going to talk about these two approaches, why there has been a shift for waterfall to agile, and why companies are more often than not thinking about more of a hybrid approach to realize success. So great discussion ahead. Thanks for joining. And we'll talk to you on the other side. Thanks. Mansi and Raghu, welcome to Taking Stock. How are you guys doing?
Good. Excited for the weekend.
It's been a long week, Mansi. You're just jumping right into the weekend?
Yes, absolutely.
How about you, Raghu?
Oh, it's been a busy week, yeah. But I'm excited about this. Looking forward to the session with you.
Not quite sure what you signed up for, but you know, I'm surprised both of you agreed to do this, being that you're probably sick of me because we talk like every single day, multiple times a day. So the fact that you were willing to do this on your quasi free time is very much appreciated.
It's maybe a little less to do with you, Stephen, more with I don't get to ever hang out with Raghu. So this was a good way to get him in there.
Perfect. So how about I get out of the way and I let you both just run with this and I could relax for 20 minutes. How about that?
Sounds good.
All right, cool. See you guys later. Have fun. In all seriousness, I appreciate you both joining. I think it's very clear that the three of us work very, very closely together. You both approached me about this topic, wanting to talk about it, and I appreciate that. It is the topic, as I mentioned earlier, is around different deployment methodologies, agile and waterfall. And you know, it's interesting for someone who doesn't have a technology background like myself to learn from you both and to understand kind of the pros and cons of those different deployment methodologies. Why we sometimes one methodology might work for another, why sometimes based upon the client, based upon their capabilities, based upon the system that's being deployed, there's tons of variables. And that's what I look forward to getting into with you both today. So, you know, Raghu, even though you look 25, supposedly you've been deploying different technologies for, you know, over 25 years. And I'd be curious to hear from you, some of your perspective. If you look back, you know, agile was less of a thing back then, right? It's something that's come about. So talk a little bit more about waterfall, some of what you believe are some of the tried and true capabilities and or approaches associated with the waterfall methodology and why that's been successful for companies historically.
Sure. First of all, thanks for the compliment, Steve. Appreciate that.
What about the fact that you look like you're 25?
25, yeah.
I love it.
Always like to stay young. So. Yeah, thanks for the compliment. But yeah, it's actually, I feel like we've actually come a full circle. When I started way back in initially in IT and programming, it wasn't as, you know, structured. In fact, there was no concept of even waterfall. You know, we would just start programming, like we would go ask for requirements, start programming, and then, you know, it would evolve and flex and we would develop code. And it was not very rigid and structured. And then, you know, as the teams grew, I think the challenge was as bigger projects got going and the teams got bigger, I think it got really complex and challenging to just, you know, not have a structure to it. So I think then, you know, we started thinking about the waterfall approach, which is a more traditional approach. You take a more sequential approach to analysis, doing your design first, making sure all your requirements are completely compiled and gathered, and then everything's good with it before you start getting into development. Because when you have multiple teams and groups of people working on actually doing the build, you need to have some level of structure and method to the madness. But now I think we're coming back a full circle again, where, you know, so there have been some challenges now with the traditional waterfall approach, just from the fact that, you know, it's so linear that it takes so long to get from point A to point C or D. And so now people are looking at a more rapid and quicker model to something more iterative where they can see something sooner. So
yeah,
it's an interesting.
Yeah, no, and that's a great great segue. And Monsi, I'd be curious to hear your perspective. So as Raghu mentioned, there are some limitations with a waterfall approach, which is driving towards, I think one of the words, like iterative and the ability mm-hmm. to get feedback. So talk a little bit about some of those challenges and how that led to, more of an agile model that we see our clients deploying.
Yeah, I think you kind of hit the nail on the head, right? It's iterative, which makes a big difference. And the part of that that's really helpful for clients is that they start to see the product that they're investing in a lot quicker. And they feel like they have more input in the way that design drives on a continual basis. And I think that sort of instant gratification goes a long way in showing how well Agile can work. And I also think it has a little bit to do with the rise of a lot of tech companies or SaaS platforms, right? Where internally, those companies and their product teams are working on an iterative basis because that's what's critical for them to hit their success or be leading in the market. And some of that has transitioned over into how we do implementation projects, which in parts are really, really helpful and useful, like in aspects of testing and aspects of change management, but at times can be a little bit too chaotic in the organized chaos of having to make sure that, are we actually clear what our requirements are? Do we understand the business impact? Is this a fully thought through solution when I look at it end to end?
Yeah, and I want to get into the organized chaos. Let's kind of table that for a minute, because I do want to get into that topic in a bit. But before we do, either of you, curious to hear your thoughts. So are there certain types of either companies and or processes and or functions and or technologies that you're deploying that would help dictate what is the right approach for a company? Better said, what are some of the ultimately when deploying the system, companies have a choice, which methodology makes the right sense. What are some of the key dependencies that you should be thinking about that would help determine what is the right approach for your business?
Yeah, Steve, I think that's a really great question, right? So like Monsi was saying, agile methodology has got a lot of benefits to it in the sense that, we have a quicker turnaround time. People are able to see what's being developed and things like that. But at the same time, I don't believe one methodology is superior to the other, one's better than the other. I think both have their time and place. And depending on the scenario of what you're executing, depending on the client needs, there are several factors that come into play. But to just kind of quickly summarize, right, I think the key differences are typically most clients are looking for, would still want to have a very tight timeline, right, and looking for a very, very tight budget, which automatically lends itself to the waterfall approach. Because when you look at a iterative approach, you're looking at a more flexible, okay, we want to adapt and shift and make changes as we go along, which by default then implies your scope and your budget is somewhat more flexible. But given that clients are still wanting a rigid approach to the timeline and budget, and they still at the same time want that flexibility of being able to see how things are progressing, can they make some, adapt and shift as they go along? So I think what's happening of late and what I've seen is situations where it's a little bit of a hybrid between both, right? We start off with a waterfall approach, looking at, okay, let's start with analysis and design, get to a point where we have a good holistic design of what the solution looks like, the concept looks like. Then when you get into the mode of build and testing, it's a little more iterative, where, you're building components of it, letting people, the clients, look at what the solution looks like, make some changes to it as we go along during that aspect of the lifecycle.
Yeah, and what we've seen in projects, that we've all worked on together, what that creates also is a sense of ownership mm-hmm. the stakeholders that you might be deploying the system for. That iterative approach through those, testing cycles, right? Through those build and testing cycles. It's more hands-on as opposed to, thank you for the design, looks great. We'll see you in 6 months with the finished solution. Exactly. Monsi, it would be nice if there was some sort of a cool acronym that we came up with that combined these two methodologies, right?
Yeah, so it depends on the accent you have, right? So I think there's Ragile and Wardile, depending on how Northern you are.
Okay.
But I think we do have at least one that's internal to Clarkston, but free to use industry-wide.
Yeah.
That would be fun. And kind of building off of what Raghu said, I think another acronym, right? AMS is a fantastic place. Application Management Service is a fantastic place for things like Agile to be a little bit more helpful. because those changes are required a little bit faster, you do have to see some information quicker. And it's usually in response to some sort of immediate business need. So places like that, in addition to testing, I think are great places where Agile comes into play. But having been on both sides of the fence, I'm starting to miss having more waterfall projects.
Yeah, I think, and that gets maybe to the organized chaos piece of it, right? So one of the things with Agile, there are certain, correct me if I'm wrong, but there are skills that are required, but also a mindset that's required to be able to succeed and to thrive in an Agile environment, right? There's less structure. Some people like structure. That's what was my question around, are there certain business processes and or functions that you're deploying a system for that might be better suited, i.e., you know, a waterfall methodology might be better served within a finance organization or a manufacturing organization, and an Agile might be more suited towards a sales and or marketing function. And that's kind of where I was going with that question. Do you see any kind of right-sized approach based upon the function that you're deploying towards?
I don't know if you'd agree with me over here, but I feel like finance is definitely one of the ones that Agile is not best suited for.
Just that's what I meant. Yeah, that's what I meant. Yes.
So I don't know if a finance person would be fine with what's
needed. Yeah, now you know for our listeners why on video here, Monsi was shaking her head as I was asking that question. Yes, the idea that waterfall is better suited for, you know, finance, kind of manufacturing, and a more of an Agile approach might be better suited towards sales and marketing functions.
Yes, then yeah, completely agree, Steve, my bad.
There we go. So let's talk about Agile then. So what are some of that organized chaos that you mentioned before, Monsi? Talk a little bit about that. What skills are needed for Agile for companies to be successful?
I think the idea or being open to the fact that things are going to change or they're not going to be perfect the first time or the second time or the third time around are honestly really critical, because that changes the tone of the work being done on the project, right? This is an iterative process. It is going to change over time because you're going to ask for more requirements that may impact that. And the way I like to think about it is, I don't know how much time you guys spend building IKEA furniture, but in IKEA furniture, you got to put everything together, kind of put in the screws, but not tighten them just yet, just because you may need to wiggle things around at the very end. And that's when you can kind of polish off what the product is going to look like. And I like that when clients that we're working with, when we're implementing Agile projects, when they think of it that way, we're a lot more successful, because things that become critical issues or that may seem like critical issues really aren't. And we will be closing those gaps as we continue to build. And I think that's probably the biggest one. I think they're better suited for organizations that also are very open to change and are good at managing change.
Yeah,
I love that analogy. I do. And yeah, Raghu's, well, I'll let you build upon it because I did have a question for you, Raghu. But no,
yeah, that was a great analogy, Monsi. Absolutely fantastic. And just fundamentally, I think the key shift between waterfall and agile is, you know, waterfall is more focused on documentation, making sure you first have a solid documentation and understanding of the design. With less flexibility, right? Versus in an agile approach, now you're looking at, you know, less focus on documentation, more actually on building the solution, and then being iteratively evolve and adapt and change with it. So I think that's fundamentally the shift and the difference there.
Yeah, and some of the, and Raghu, how many times have we had this conversation where you're heading into testing cycles and more of an agile approach, and the client is frustrated because the system doesn't work, right? And that is one of the fundamental things that, from a mindset perspective, companies need to get past, that with that more agile iterative approach, that's the intent. The intent is you kind of, it's almost like test and learn, you know, building towards a finished product, right? And getting companies past that. That's a hard mindset to get through.
Exactly. You mean the one, it's a very contradictory situation, right? On one side, you're thinking about getting something in front of the client or the end user as quickly as possible so they can see some of the functionality and how they've conceptualized. But at the same time, like Monsi said, the expectation has to be very clearly set that it's not a perfect solution yet. And we are working with them to refine it and make it better and get it to the point where it needs to be, right? So it's like, you know, we are working in tandem together as one team to get to that solution as we build upon it. So that mindset has to be first, you know, make sure people have that mindset and already there.
Playing devil's advocate, though, if I were on the business side, right, and this is a I'm sponsoring this project, how do you put in that benchmark then where you say we've iterated 8 or 9 times or 6 or 7 times? How do you know when is the right time to have something kind of buttoned up more?
Yeah, when is enough enough? Yeah, exactly. I think that's nice. That's a good point too. I mean, there's always a challenge with that, right? In terms of the scope itself, at what point do we okay, this is our point of, you know.
Yeah, and I think it's a great challenge, Monty. And I think that, you know, certain kind of guardrails need to be put in place, some structure within, and that's why this hybrid model makes sense, because what it does is it essentially creates an unstructured iterative approach within an overall structure, within an overall confined timeline. You still have your design and your documentation of that design up front. That is your kind of guiding light that you're striving towards, but you're working through some of those details, you know, through the process. Last topic that I want to hit upon with you both, you referenced it earlier around change management. It came up earlier. That often, I don't care what system it is we're deploying, that's ultimately the greatest driver of success or failure, is your ability to engage the organization, get them to buy into the system that's being deployed, and ultimately, you know, gain value from using that system. Any thoughts around the various approaches across agile, waterfall, or a hybrid approach, and how that impacts how companies should be thinking about change management?
Yeah, I can start on that. It seems a little bit relevant for me now, and I think Raghu, it sounds like it's going to be relevant for you in about a week. But the agile approach to at least the testing phase has been really critical in us getting the appropriate feedback that we need to say, hey, this doesn't actually have a good user experience. And I think it's fantastic in that we're able to start training our super users within the system and get them to put even the process changes in place. So one thing that I will say for every implementation that I've been in, it's never just a technology transformation. Right. There's usually an underlying business process change that's happening. And sometimes people think that, oh, I'll just be switching click to click. And testing, especially in an agile environment, is a great way to say, no, we're restructuring the way you're going to think about these things. And that's going to be supported by the technology. And once you can kind of start testing out how not only the system's working, but how you're messaging that to people, to the end users, honestly, they'll better be able to help you refine that messaging. So when you get to end user training, more often than not, you have a lot of support within the business to push that message across.
Yeah, and I think it's a huge challenge for the training team, right? If you think about it traditionally, if you look at the waterfall approach, they have a significant amount of time to say, okay, here is the design that we have. Here's what the system has been designed for in terms of functionality. This is what the system looks like, the user interface looks like, and they can build a good, solid training content, which kind of stays pretty much static and not changing that much. Versus if you take an agile approach, a lot of that is going to constantly change and shift, and they have to quickly adapt to that and make sure, number one, as a training team, they absorb those changes, they understand what the implications are, and then being able to define that and communicate that back to the end users and say, okay, now this is how the end system is going to look like, and being able to adapt to that shift is a huge challenge, obviously, for the OCM and training team.
That's a great point.
They have to stay on top of it. So it is one of the challenges with Agile.
Awesome. Well, I appreciate you both very much. I enjoyed the conversation. I think, like most things, often the answer is somewhere in the middle. And we're seeing more and more of that with our clients, that combining these two methodologies, leveraging the best of both, is where we see a lot of our clients leaning. So thank you both for the perspective. Thanks for the discussion. I wish you both a great weekend, and we'll chat soon.
Thanks.
Thanks, Steve. Bye, guys. All right. Thank you, everyone, for joining. And Monty and Raghu, thank you very much for being a part of the discussion and your engaged participation throughout. You know, when you think about agile, you think about sprints, you think about incremental approach, you think about flexibility. When you think about waterfall, you think about distinct phases. You think about a sequential design process. You think about more structured and rigidity to your approach. The fact of the matter is you need to come up with the deployment methodology that makes the right sense for your business at that time,
understanding who it is you're deploying with. There is no one-size-fits-all approach. However, whatever you set up, make sure that you are going to stick to that and you're going to have the right structure to realize success. Knowing that if you're going with an agile approach, make sure everyone understands what that means and you have that flexibility built in throughout. If you're going with a waterfall approach, understanding what that means and you have that right rigidity and structure throughout. However, if you're going with more of a hybrid approach, make sure that you're documenting what that means, when you need that structure, when you need that flexibility, so everyone understands what we're striving towards. So thank you all for the discussion. Really appreciated it. And we'll talk to you here on Taking Stock real soon.